Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to worship this evening on the third of our Advent services. Our theme this year has been Your King is Coming to You from the prophet Zechariah. Behold, your King comes to you, righteous and having salvation is he. And we rejoice in God's gift of this King and all that he has done for us, including tonight our theme, how he exalts the lowly. And so we're going to be talking about that tonight. Just a note about our worship tonight, one hymn right before the offering, O Jesus so sweet, O Jesus so mild, on the last stanza, the third stanza, that final line has been omitted for some reason. You never catch these things until it's printed, right? It's just the same line that repeats with the other refrains, with the other stanzas, O Jesus so sweet, O Jesus so mild. So just be aware of that. And also after the service tonight, at the end of the service, we're going to have an opportunity for you to pick some carols of the Advent season or Christmas season, and we'll just sing them together, and you can pick those, so you might want to be thinking about those, but not during the sermon. You can shout it out, and we'll take a couple of verses of that hymn and give you all an opportunity to pick some hymns and carols for the Advent and Christmas season that maybe you like to sing. All right, so with that, we get underway then as we worship our God. Okay, let's join to sing the Advent of our King.
The Advent of our King. Our prayers must now employ, and we must hymns of welcome sing in strains of holy joy. The everlasting Son incarnate deigns to be himself the servant's form puts on to set his people free. O Zion's daughter, rise to meet your lowly King, nor let your faithless heart despise the peace he comes to bring. As judge on clouds of light, he soon will come again, and his true members all unite with him in heaven. For the dawning day, let sin's dark deeds be gone, the sinful self be put away, the new self now put on. All glory to the Son, who comes to set us free, with Father, Spirit, ever one, through all eternity.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Emmanuel, our King and our Lord, the anointed for the nations and their Savior, come and save us, O Lord, our God. Come, O Lord, among us. Jesus, our wisdom from on high. Hallelujah. Amen. We pray. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. For you are merciful, and you love your whole creation. And we, your creatures, glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Hark the glad sound, the Savior comes, the Savior promised long. Let every heart prepare a throne, and every voice a song. He comes the
our first reading tonight, we read of King David's plans to build a house or a temple for God and of God's answer to him. 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. Now, when the king lived in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all of his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that night, that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people out of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul when I put him away before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure before me. Your throne shall be established forever, in accordance with all these words and in accordance with all this vision Nathan spoke to David. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The 113th Psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. In our second reading, we read of the Annunciation to Mary, that she would be the mother of the Christ, from Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's join our voices to sing, "Arise, O Christian People."
Arise, O Christian people, prepare yourselves today. Prepare to greet the Savior who takes your sins away. To us by grace alone, the truth and light were given, the promise, Lord, from heaven to all the world is shown. Prepare the way before him, prepare for him the this blessed Advent time. From stall and manger low, come now to dwell within me. I'll sing your praises gladly, and forth your praises show.
My friends, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. We're reading two texts tonight from 2 Samuel chapter 7 and from Luke chapter 1, the readings from this evening, and just a short portion of those readings to share with you again from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. And then from Luke chapter 1, the Annunciation to Mary. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This is God's word. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, David and Mary, not exactly what you would call the, you know, the high born of this world. It's because David became probably one of the most famous characters in all the Bible and Israel's greatest king. It's easy to forget how lowly his origins were. Remember, and God said it here in our reading tonight, God had picked David from following sheep, is what it says. Picked him up from the filth of the field where he was with the sheep all the time, smelled like sheep. David was this bratty little brother that no one thought would amount to much of anything, the little one in the family on whom the rest of the family dumped the least desirable chores. David was a nothing. And Mary? She was practically the definition of a nothing and a nobody, from a no-name backwater town, a mere youth from a lowly and humble family that had little to call its own. Mary also was a nothing. Neither of them had a lot of skills to speak of. They certainly did not have power. They did not have a lot of money. They did not have reputation and fame. There was nothing that they had done to win the favor of God or to be chosen by God, which just goes to show you that God is not at all like us. You see, our God serves the lowly and he exalts them, and by his grace, he makes something out of nothing. And so it was with David. David, you did not make yourself a king, the Lord would say to him. We heard echoes of this in our reading tonight. It was not anything about you. It was not your good heart. It was not your faith. It was not your works. It was not your decisions. It was not your ruddy good looks or anything about you. It was not your political networking. It was not your fundraising prowess. nothing about you that made you my choice to be the king. David, I am the king, and it was out of my heart and by my works that you became king of Israel. It was by my royal decree, not by your might, David, by my royal decree, that your enemies were cut off from before you and that your name became so great. It is by my work that I gave you rest from all of your surrounding enemies. And it is my decree that from your body, from your royal family line, will come forth a king who will reign eternally upon your throne. David, you were the lowest of the low, but I served you to exalt you, and I made you great. Same thing with Mary. How will this be, she asks, since I am a virgin? And the angel says, well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. I chose you, Mary. I chose you, not because you are more faithful than other women or more pure or more talented, not because you are more beautiful or more honorable, Mary. You're not. I chose you because I am the king who makes something out of nothing. Out of the low, I exalt them, and by my grace, and I make them great. I am the king who rules by giving instead of demanding, by serving to exalt you instead of demanding that you serve and exalt me. I am the king who exalts the humble and brings down the mighty. Mary, you were the lowest of the low, but I served you to exalt you, and I made you great. Now, of course, that's all backwards and upside down from our usual expectations of kings in this world who expect to be served and expect their people to exalt them. Why should a king serve his subjects and exalt his subjects when it should be the other way around? Well, this seems to have been part of David's thinking when he looked around at this gorgeous house that he was living in, this palace that he had built for himself, made of cedar. And it bothered him that the Lord, God Almighty, enthroned upon the Ark of the Covenant, was still dwelling in a tent, in a tabernacle. And so David had a thought. What can I do for you, Lord? Can I serve you by building you a decent house, a temple that you can dwell in? Lord, what can I do to exalt you? And then that's when the Lord surprised David with his answer through Nathan. He said, No, David, you do not serve me and make a house for me. I will serve you and I will make you a house. Not a house of stone and wood, but I will make of you a royal house, an exalted dynasty, from which one day your greater son will sit upon your throne forever. David, I myself will become a part of your family. I am going to join your family tree as your son. You will call me Father, or I will call you Father, and you will call me Lord. And David was just amazed at this. David learned that it was the king, not he, who is doing the serving and the exalting. And perhaps that was also some of Mary's thinking when the angel announced to her that she was going to be the mother of the Christ. And she said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Notice she says, I am the servant. And that's great, right? As a servant, Mary wanted to do things for her king. She wanted her king to be exalted and thought, this is something I can do for him and be the mother of his son. But then after reflecting on all of that, and then going off to the home of Elizabeth, her elderly aunt, who was pregnant now with John the Baptist for six months, after all of that, perhaps it finally dawned on her what was really happening here. God was saying to Mary, Mary, it's great that you want to serve me, but above all, I am serving you. I myself, I will be part of your family. I am going to join your family tree, and I will call you mother, and you will call me Savior. And all generations will call you blessed, and you shall be great. And Mary learned that it was the king, not she, who was doing the real serving and was exalting her. And that is reflected in Mary's song, isn't it? In the Magnificat, when she says, he looked upon my humble estate, and the mighty one has done great things for me. Notice, I did not do great things for him. He did great things for me. He chose me. He exalted me. He gave me grace. And so David and Mary both learn that God, our God, is not like any other king who demands to be served and to have his subjects exalt him and fight for him and die for him. But the King of Heaven insists that he will first serve us, and he will honor us, and he will fight for us, and he will die for us, and rise for us, and thus he will exalt us. He takes lowly, no-name people like me and you, and he exalts us, and he makes us princes in his royal family and heirs of his eternal kingdom. Because that's what it all comes down to, isn't it? It all comes down to you and to me. It was for us that he was born. And look at us. Look at you. Look at me. We're not exactly the highborn of this world either, are we? We certainly don't deserve to have a king serving us and exalting us. And yet this highest and most holy king looked upon our lowly estate as he did with Mary, and he came to us in the flesh of a humble infant and even put himself beneath us to serve us, honor us, fight for us, die for us, rise for us, exalt us by his grace. No, he is not your son in the same sense that he was David's son and Mary's son, but he made himself your brother, and he joined our human family to make us members of his family, to exalt us and make us princes, a royal priesthood, to reign with him forever. Times in life, maybe you feel like a nobody from nowhere, but it's not true. Do not listen to that lie. God made you a prince, not a princess, and an heir of his kingdom. He is with you to cut off all your enemies from before you. Most of all, to cut off sin and death and the devil so that they cannot harm you. And he has joined his name to your name in holy baptism, and he has made your name great. The King of all kings knows your name. That's how great you are. The promises that we read about tonight for David, promises that were fulfilled in the womb of Mary, are also spoken to us. Even as Christ was conceived in the womb of Mary, he has been born into your heart by the word of God. And that was proclaimed to you. Like David, you have been chosen from among the lowest of the low to be great in the kingdom of God and to be exalted and lifted up. Like Mary, you have found favor with God, not because you are so great, but because he's so great. And now you have been exalted to be the bearer of Christ. Mary bore the Christ in her womb, but you bear the Christ in your life. You bear his name. You bear his righteousness. You bear his inheritance. You bear his gospel. You are the bearer of Christ. And of course, we're not worthy of these things, but that did not stop the Lord, for this was his entire plan, to exalt us, serve us. God is not like us. He serves us to exalt the low, and by his grace, he makes something out of nothing. And so what does it mean? It means that when you face trouble tomorrow, or if Christmas isn't everything you wanted it to be this year, or you're lonely, or whatever, that your King is still with you. He's still in charge, and all things are going to work out for your good. That's his promise. It means that when things do not look as if they are going well for you, your King is still governing all things for you and making your path straight. And it means that when God feels far away from you, you do not have to work harder to try to bring him closer, to try to lure him in. Because as he says, he is already near to all who call upon him. So humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you at the proper time. And say with Mary then, let it be to me according to your word. And then we will sing Mary's song, and we'll make that song our own. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown the strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, and has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. This is our song, just as it was Mary's song, and David's song too. It's our song, because God is not like us. He is the King who comes to us and humbles himself that he might exalt us in the forgiveness of our sins and in the gift of eternal life, and to make something out of nothing, and out of the lowly, by his grace, to lift them up to the kingdom of God forever. It is he who has made us to be his people in Christ our Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen. And now we join and to speak the second article of the Apostles' Creed and its meaning from Luther's Small Catechism. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
What does this mean?
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true.
Let's join then to sing, O Jesus, so sweet, O Jesus, so mild.
O Jesus, so sweet, O Jesus, so mild, for sinners you became a child. You came from heaven down to earth in human flesh, through human birth. Oh, Jesus, so sweet. Oh, Jesus, so mild. Oh, Jesus, so sweet. Oh, Jesus, so mild. With God we now are reconciled. You have for all the ransom paid. Your Father's righteous anger stayed. Oh, Jesus, so sweet. Oh, Jesus, so mild. Oh, Jesus, so sweet. Oh, Jesus, so mild. Joy fills the world which sin defiled. One hair we have belongs to you. Oh, keep us faithful, strong, and true. Oh, Jesus, so meek. Oh, Jesus, so mild.
As we mentioned, we'll include our previous vicar, now seminarian again, Derek and Leah Carey, as they welcomed a little girl. Do you know if they pronounce it Rosalyn or Rosalyn? Or
I'd say Rosalyn.
Rosalyn? Okay, Rosalyn Beatrice. So born the 16th. Is that today?
Yesterday.
Today at 6:22 p.m. So 7 pounds, 2 ounces. We rejoice with them as they receive this little gift of a girl in their family. Let's go to God in our prayers. Shall we rise?
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, And for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Matthew Harrison, our synodical president, and Kevin Wilson, our district president, for all pastors in Christ, for all servants of the church, and for all the people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the president of these United States, for all public servants, and for government and those who protect us, that they may be upheld and strengthened in every good deed, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who work to bring peace, justice, health, and protection in this and every place, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who bring offerings, those who do good works in this congregation, those who toil, those who sing, and all the people here present who await from the Lord great and abundant mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For favorable weather, for an abundance of the fruits of the earth, and for peaceful times, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our deliverance from all affliction, wrath, danger, and need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Don and Alice, for Bernetta and Margaret, Bill and Gary, for Bryston, Kim, for Andrew and Michelle, and Brandy and Heather, and Gary and Michael, for Ray and Chelsea and Norma, and Ron and Vicky, for Jama and Judy and Joni and Kyle and Sarah, for Marilyn and Renee and Michelle, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Derek and Leah Carey, as they welcome into their family the gift of a little daughter, Rosalind Beatrice, that they may rejoice in your good gift of this child, and that she would be preserved in good health as plans are made to bring her to the washing of holy baptism to be made your child in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Rejoicing in the fellowship of the saints, let us commend ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our Lord.
To you, O Lord.
O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you.
Amen.
Let the earth now praise the Lord, who has truly kept his word, and at last to us did send Christ the sinner's help. What the promised great reward.
Zion's helper, Jacob's Lord,
him of twofold race behold, truly came as long foretold. As your coming was in peace, quiet,
simply kept.